this is Greg Schultz from Storage.io, and I'm here in Orlando at S&W Spring 2013. And with me again is Bruce Raven.
Hey, great to be back, and welcome to David.
David Deming.
Hello, this is Dave.
Well, let's take a step back for a little bit. Some of you might know David, some of you may not, but you know, we've talked about that this is, I believe, the 28th S&W in the U.S.
I've been coming to S&W since in the Palm Desert venue. That was the first venue that the Fiber Channel Industry Association actually had a demo, an interoperability demo that I happened to work with the organization with. At that time, I happened to be president of the FCIA, and that was a wonderful time. But what we were able to do is I took 30 vendors, and I was the first individual to integrate them into a single SAN. Now, the side note, don't tell anybody, but I had to use a VIXL hub, and I had to zone all the switches from one another. But at least I could manage the whole thing.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that, Dave, is there's a lot of people who have no idea who VIXL is.
That's true.
But, you know, that's a good point about how the evolution, about where were things emerging, breaking out front 10-plus years ago. Now people are like, well, who's VIXL? Isn't it just about Brocade, Cisco, QLogic, Emulex, you know, et cetera? But let's tie in the fact of who you are and why you've been at so many of these SNWs.
Well, we've been involved in the education industry for, 28 years.
And who's we?
Solution Technology.
There you go.
Have written numerous manuals. There really are manuals. They're of technical orientation on SCSI, SAS, SATA, P1394, Ethernet, and many other, Fiber Channel, to name a few. And what I believe I've been able to accomplish with my organization is I believe we have established ourselves as the trusted leader in providing the engineering community with the education that they need to do their jobs.
So one of the interesting aspects about, you know, and always having fun catching up with you, David, is the fact that, you know, we get to talk business, we get to talk technology, but we talk about other things. But involved in the education, you're out in front of the curve than where a lot of the education is. In other words, you're seeing things at a lower level, but further out than where a lot of people might be talking education-wise.
Yeah, that's of course my life. I've always been a teacher. It's my passion. And in that, you know, the passion, of course, will drive things like my vision to be able to realize what we need to do next. Some of the things are obvious. So, for instance, PCIe storage is the obvious next step, I believe, in this industry. And so, accordingly, there's going to need to be equivalent services that will bring the engineering community up to a level where they can be proficient enough to design these products to their individual specifications. So that's our next venture is, okay, let's get the PCIe storage out of the way, and that'll be the next thing that we do. Beyond that, what is also happening is there's been a real pushback from the entire industry for face-to-face training. Yeah, it's because we're in this budgetary tight belt-tightening, you know, environment, not only from a political point of view, but from a corporate point of view, it seems like the corporations are following the same mode that the federal government is doing. It's like, well, if we don't really need it, we're not going to buy it. We're not going to pay for it. So what they'll do is they'll rely on their engineers to figure it out on their own.
So more self-training, self-taught, as opposed to instructional knowledge transfer.
That's correct.
Okay.
What we're doing to assist these individuals, because, of course, what is happening is it's a global education community now. And with that, we have to come up with a vehicle. I should probably be careful what I'm talking about here, because this is some things that we're very excited about at Solution Technology, because the next step, of course, is to enter into a self-paced world. But it has to be a world that people are going to be willing to visit,
right,
especially when you're talking about the geeky crap that I'm teaching.
David, some of you would jump in and say, well, that sounds like the perfect application role for social media. Is that a magic silver bullet, or is that just pie-in-the-sky visionary cloud virtual talk?
I think it's a combination of it all. For the first 15 years, I got on an airplane and flew all over the country. I was just telling somebody, I was traveling about 75,000 miles a year, going all over the world, training people on, you know, this technology, Fiber Channel and so on. That is the way that humans have been conditioned to learn for a very long time, in front of people. And now we're in a society where people are now removed, replaced by a computer, and you're trying to convey some pretty sophisticated topics to these individuals. So it's a challenge, and that is only the tip of the iceberg. You know, well, how do I take this internationally? I have to be able to come up with a vehicle that I can translate into other Englishes very easily.
So do you see at the time, Dave, where things come full circle, where all of a sudden it becomes new, revolutionary, this great new concept called face-to-face education?
Training. Yep. I really do think it's going to happen. What I believe is it will become more organized.
Mm.
The SNIA is a great example. We have an education committee. I'd like to say I'm a proud founder of the education committee, one of the first four individuals that got in the first room together and decided that what we wanted to do was to drive education for the Storage Networking Industry Association. And that is the type of vehicles I think that we're going to start relying on for face-to-face, because people are showing up at these events. They're getting their face-to-face needs met. They're getting their network needs met. And simultaneously, their social networking needs met.
Cool.
Because this is all intertwined now.
It's a challenge, though, isn't it, to actually get people to spend the money to get on a plane to show up at an event like this and be face-to-face.
That is pretty much the whole reasoning for going in the direction of instructor-led online training.
Somewhat related to that, I'm wondering, in your world, with the sequesters, we're hearing about, you know, companies are starting to get very, very, very nervous about spending money right now, not seeing where budgets are going. How is the whole sequester thing and the whole budget thing affecting your world, if at all?
I should probably be very careful about this one, too. Our government, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that the people that are responsible for protecting all of our information, the federal government, doesn't want to spend the money to train the engineers that would actually implement the security program that would fix this issue.
Dave, is it the case where they're willing to spend on the technology but not on the education?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in other words, we can buy the hardware, the software, the services, but we're not going to
figure it out on our own.
In the people.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's unique to the government?
No. No, it's been an interesting 28 years because of the proliferation of the internet and information in general. You know, the question is, how does David Demen get his information?
Exactly.
I ask the great Google God, all right? And I get answers most of the time. If I don't get answers from Google, then I can, you know, phone up Greg and talk to him, or I can phone up one of my other colleagues and talk to them. So, you know, we have so many resources at our fingertips today that we didn't have before. And that has changed the whole landscape on how we learn.
But, David, that goes to a good point, which is if you know who to contact, you can reach out, get information, validate something. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean that it's real or correct. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have to validate it. But you have to know who to do that. That's part of me coming to these events and how we met a long time ago, is meeting these people that you can interact with and to help validate those things.
Absolutely correct. This is these type of events are necessary for the survival of our industry.
Bruce, let's switch over to you for a minute here. Pull you in. Is that in your other role as Raven at Associates, as the executive recruiter, with the people today, do you see them in the go forward having to invest more of their own into their education, their knowledge building, as opposed to it being given to it? And is that something that they should put priority on as part of investing in their future?
I think definitely so. I think that because as people, not only actually in my world here as an executive recruiter, but I'm also involved in the music industry, and it's the same there, by the way. Bands nowadays, if they're going to be considered by labels or managers, major management companies, they have to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. They have to be doing all this on their own. Now, that to get off of that and back to the executive search side, I think that's definitely the case, because what I find is the companies, even within a job market, right now is pretty good in storage. Companies are very, very specific about what they want. There's not a lot of give. It's not like, hey, just get us a great athlete. They want that exact fit who's incredibly knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, they want the course to be tailored to their needs. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, the way that, or the design methodology that we use at Solution Technology feeds right into that, because our modules can be picked up and planted in different training classes. The most basic example is like 8B, 10B encoding. It's used in all the serial interfaces. So therefore, we create one module, and we're able to use that module across all our training classes.
So there's the other aspect about you can be spending your time declaring yourself an expert, the knowledge go-to person, or you could spend that same amount of time actually expanding your knowledge and then transferring it.
Absolutely.
Did you budget your time in a certain way where you have to spend X hours a week boning up on whatever just happened?
I'll have as many as 5 projects going, and I'll typically limit myself to 5. Mm-hmm. And what my day consists of is, of course, let's get the email out of the way, but then it's let's surf the internet and let's, you know, look at the headlines. And I do a lot of time looking at headlines from all of the major vendors like Brocade, Cisco, Sun, you know, or Oracle, excuse me, HP, Dell, and so on. But then every 2-hour block, or what I do is each 5 projects gets a 2-hour block. So, yes, I have a 12-hour day.
So how do you fit the golf game in there?
The golf game will come on the hooky day. And we go out and play golf every so often for a hooky day.
If you work 4 12-hour days, that's a 48-hour a week. Now you've got that fifth day to play hooky without losing anything.
That's if you only spend 48 hours. That's correct.
Right. That's assuming that. Then there's the other angle to it. But, you know, part of that, what I find is there are days where a 12-hour day would be a breeze. There are the 16, the 18 hours, in particular working on content, researching things, you push yourself to the point where you're almost ready to break, then you do break, take a break, go to the driving range, play with the radio-controlled helicopters,
absolutely,
listen to some music, whatever it is.
Walk the dog,
and then come back in for a period of time.
No, that's all part of, I know what we do when we do our training classes is understand that at a 40-minute time frame in a training environment, every person in the room has most likely exited already, not physically, but at least mentally. So therefore, you're combating or you're battling all of these conditions. And what you need to do is move. You just need to get up and move.
Yep. And I think a lot of people, a lot of events, places, they miss out on that. They think, well, no, we've got to go an hour 15. Or it's like, no, at that 40, 45-minute mark, you know, there's a little bit of gray area in there, is you've got to break, let the people, not too long, get them back in their seats, but track onto that. Dave, let's switch gears up here. We're getting low on time. When you're working on things, whether you're researching, putting your course materials together, are you doing it in a dead silent room, or you got some music playing?
Oh, the music's blaring.
What do you use? What drives you?
Well, I am very diverse in my musical selection. My favorite music is all horn-oriented, so my favorite band is called Chase.
Yes!
For those of you that don't know that, ask the Google God, and they'll shall supply you with appropriate information.
Their biggest hit is called Get It On.
Oh, great Chicago band.
A great Chicago band, and oh, those horns.
Yes.
You were saying something interesting. He played was it a fourth horn?
Yes. What Bill Chase did was he realized that the combination of four horns were far more full and I don't even know how to explain it without reading exactly the way he explained it in his bio, but it was the first band that actually broke the three-horn limit, at least in my knowledge.
You know? So you find yourself, like, different things working. What I find is, like, somebody asked me, there was, whether I'm working on a book or other projects, and I told them, well, yeah, you know, I wrote this particular chapter listening to Rush. And they go, how can you listen to that pompous-ass Rush limbo? And I said, no. I said, it's the Canadian power trio, you dummy. And they're like, oh. And by the way, it was, I won't say which chapter, but it was 2112.
Oh, it has to be 2112. I just recently got turned on to Rush by another one of my poker buddies named Jeff. And every time he buys a ticket now, he buys two and he invites me.
Nice.
So I enjoy it. It's definitely.
I do. You know, I got the classic rock playing part of the day. But, you know, Bruce, you turned me on to, you know, Alt Nation, XMU. And, yeah, so it's like listening to whether it's Sleigh Bells, whether it's listening to Jangle Django. And then you'll go listen to some classic rock in the midst of the day. That's part of, as you said, keeping the brain unsettled.
You take a band like Jangle Django. They liberally, and probably a lot of our listeners don't know this band, D-J-A-N-G-O-D, you know, Jangle Django, right? But they're quite big in England. They're growing in America. They were on Jay Leno a week ago. They borrow, and so many of the new bands do this, they borrow so heavily from the 50s, 60s, 70s,
absolutely.
80s, 90s.
Flowrider.
Yeah, they are all over the map in terms of the timeline.
And, you know, I like about that, again, it's part of, that's a great, you know, point about keeping the mind unsettled. And but to me, I find, you know, the music, that rhythm keeps you on pace when you're generating the content. But that when you hear a lot of this new stuff, you hear like, oh, wow, that's deja vu. That was similar to The Cure, or that was similar to this riff over here that I've heard before.
What I'm amazed about is some of the lyrics these guys are putting together are mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, to the point that they're making me laugh, or they're making me think, you know. Or it's interesting that yeah. Finally, it seems like some music is starting to materialize that is like inspirational.
Well, you know, David, you were telling us about Lindsey Stirling.
Yes.
Great find. Great tip. Love that one.
Oh, you got to check this out. Lindsey Stirling, a violinist that has a rock fusion type of a mix. She's got a Phantom of the Opera mix that she does it. I'm just a big fan of Phantom because I used to take my daughter all the time. And but it is just, it's pretty amazing music.
Great. We got to start wrapping up here, Bruce. So, David, great catching up with you.
Oh, Greg, it's been nice seeing you, and I really have enjoyed this time with you guys.
And your website?
www, you're going to love this one, .sol. technology.com.
There you go. One more time.
www.soltechnology.com.
David, great. Thanks for joining us. Bruce?
Always a pleasure.
Okay. So we're going to wrap up this for right now. Again, this is Greg Schultz from Storage.io here wrapping up this segment, this episode from Spring SNW 2013 in Orlando. Okay. Enough said.